Welcome to Jeannie Mayo's 100X Leadership Podcast. Man, it's so fun to be with you again. And we've got a cool topic today.
Yes, we do.
We do. We are talking about what I'm calling an autopsy of leadership train wrecks.
There we go.
Kind of intriguing, don't you think?
Quite intriguing.
Yeah, but I've looked at lots of wonderful people. I've been an observer and I've been up close to more of them than I really want to admit, who are amazing leaders.
Yeah.
And then some form of what I'm going to call leadership train wreck happens. So, all right, talk to me. When I say leadership train wreck, Vance, what comes to our mind initially?
I think normally the big ones, adultery, money, dishonesty, I'll say, or doing dishonest things with money. And just ultimately anything that's going to tarnish your reputation
Absolutely.
As a leader and possibly destroy your reputation.
Absolutely. And I think that it's really tempting that we often talk about the outcomes, like what he just said.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we don't take a minute to do an autopsy and figure out the on-ramps to all of those times that this amazing leader things unraveled. So that's what we're going to try to do today. Kind of say, from watching this thing for lots of decades, look, if you want to be 100X, you're going to have to stay in the game for a while.
Yeah.
So let me unpack just a few things that I'm going to tell you from watching up close are repeated themes with some people that I would have thought never would have found themselves in that category. First of all, I would say that I think we have to realize as leaders that speed kills. And maybe that sounds like an overstatement, but I wrote in my notes here, oftentimes the people that are fastest to make it and maybe use some shortcuts are the fastest to fall. You know, I remind myself that busy stands for B-U-S-Y, buried or being under Satan's yoke, being under Satan's yoke. And so another one of my short little sentences, listen, I know the bad news is that time flies, but the good news is that you're the person who's the pilot. And so for me, gosh, my life gets real busy. Doesn't yours?
Oh, yeah.
Hello. Yeah. Thank you very much. But the issue that I have to say over and over to myself is, whoa, Jeannie, you know, be careful of the speed. Like I'd heard this quote, lives live frantically are quickly forgotten. Isn't that good?
That's really good.
And so, gosh, you know, it's the Captain Obvious point. But it's really not one that we can be safe to overlook. Secondly, I would simply say, as I'm looking at leaders, and this one's easy to say, another one to live, surround yourself with two to three key people who consistently dare to tell you the truth, even when sometimes we don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. And that's tough for all of us. Now, unpack that, because we all go, yeah, but that's not easy. Unpack that.
I think it's easier said than done, you know.
For all of us.
And I think especially as leaders, you know, the more we're doing, the more pressure we already feel. A lot of us are our own worst critics. So the last thing we want is somebody else criticizing us or
Absolutely.
What feels like criticism or giving us like the negative feedback that we already know.
And That's big. The negative feedback we already know. At least I already know mine.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, we want people to be real around us, but we would prefer if the real is affirmation.
Yes.
Like give me
Absolutely.
Real affirmation.
Absolutely.
And just that. And yeah, so I think it's harder than it seems sometimes to want to surround yourself with people to be open to real feedback and sometimes negative feedback, constructive criticism. I think as leaders, we all know we're supposed to. It's like, I want that. I welcome your feedback.
Yeah,
but we don't.
Yeah, no, we don't.
We don't.
And for me, I have to say, accountability is a farce unless I tell other people what I'm feeling and what I need to be saying. Because the reality is, as a leader, all of us, at least I can bury a whole lot of stuff for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And then it gets infected inside of me and I'm in trouble. So though it sounds super simple, I'd say to you, if you don't want to be a train wreck, be careful, because my temptation, again, is to talk to people who are going to tell me what I want to hear.
Yeah.
And give me compassion. And sometimes I go different. Then this one is one that lots of people don't talk about real often. Number three, become intentional about conserving your emotional energy and determining what I call your personal adrenaline patterns. And that's a big deal. Let me unpack that for a minute. Energy is renewable, but it's not limitless. And so energy comes for all of us in cycles and in waves, not a constant stream. Gosh, you know, we have to be aware of adrenaline. Oh, now I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you have any clue what adrenaline, I mean, we all do, but if somebody asks you to define adrenaline, what is it?
It's like that my blood is pumping.
Yes.
I'm amped up. I can lift a car up now.
You exactly said that thing. You know, the mom who lifts the car off of her trapped kid, you know, or obviously right before a big game, all of that. It's a hormone. It's secreted, fight or flight sort of thing we've all heard. But gosh, you don't have to be lifting cars to have. And all of us, all through the day, have measures of adrenaline bursts. But here's what you got to know. After adrenaline kicks in, you know, in a sermon, when we're doing a significant counseling thing that matters to us, we're paying bills, you know, all that different stuff, or we're just hurrying. We've got to get five things done on our list and we got to get it done and we don't have very long to do it.
Yeah.
After adrenaline kicks in, adrenaline spikes always come with adrenaline lows. And it may be a little small spike up, small spike down, but it's always going to be there. And let me read to you some of the signs of an adrenaline low. You get easy angered or frustrated pretty easily, which we all get, but a little easier. Sadness or feeling super blue. Easy vulnerability to sin. A magnifying of negative comments that other people make, or replaying, or what went wrong, or beating myself up, or reliving conversations. Overall emotional state that says, gosh, this isn't worth it. Go pitch it. Or for me, I'll encounter a blahness, like, well, I can't change it. Almost part of it's boredom, but the other part is blah. So, you know, and I love this quote, Vance. Nolan Ryan obviously was this amazing pitcher and really was like so huge in baseball through the 60s all the way through the 90s, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. And listen to his profound observation on his personal energy pattern that made him so good when he hit the pitching mound. Listen to this, and I quote, "I became a great pitcher when I realized that there would only be about five times a game when I needed to pitch at 100% force. I learned that conserving my energy for those moments was key to sustained and unforgettable success." All right. I don't even know what I want you to say on that, but talk that through. Why, as leaders, don't you think we violate?
Oh, all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
Just reflect on that a little bit.
I think the first thing that came to my mind is I think a lot of people talk about, you know, energy expenditure, resting. A lot of us as church leaders are familiar with the Sabbath. Sure. I think that what he's saying is, he knew when those five times were.
That's really interesting.
And I think that's where a lot of us as leaders are out of touch, is we can say, man, that sounds great. I don't know my five times.
Yeah.
So I'm going 100% when I right. don't have to, or when I don't need to, or even sometimes feeling right. that conflict of right. even possibly feeling guilty sometimes.
Oh, lots always feeling guilty.
Yeah.
No, not
feeling
possibly.
Like you're always supposed to be giving 100%. And I think that's one of the toughest things, is figuring out, you know, when can I pull back? When can I take a break, you know, and it not, you know, cost somebody else something, or me not feel you know, or always feeling like you're like, as, you know, one of the greatest pitchers, you know, how do you determine, you know, when to pull back if you're supposed to be the greatest? You know, you could easily think like, oh man, this guy wants to strike everybody out every single
Absolutely.
Time and set records. So I think having that self-awareness and the awareness of what he's doing, to the point that he could say, okay, I don't have to strike every single person out, right. but these are the five times that I need to give right. 100%. I just think that's astounding.
And don't make this too tough. None of us are going to know the magic five. But the point is saying to ourselves, like Vance just said, I cannot demand that I'm 100% all the time. Mm. Now, the place that I don't want you to give yourself a pass is being a Christian. But, you know, that's yeah. too many of us give ourselves a pass there, because we don't give ourselves a pass performance-wise.
Man, that's
anything
good.
Else. And it's just for me determining, and this is too strong of a statement, determining what I'm willing to fail in. And for me, failure is not giving 100%. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And Mom, you just said something.
What'd I say?
You just said that a lot of us give ourselves a pass on being a Christian because we don't give ourselves a pass performance-wise. That's profound.
Thanks.
But that's true. I think it's really real.
Yeah.
That is a lot of times the areas, and I could see that being a huge on-ramp to a tragedy, because
Absolutely.
That's where you're giving yourself the pass.
Yeah.
Because you don't know your five times.
Because nobody knows. Mm. Does that make sense? Nobody knows what attitudes I've harbored
yeah.
in my heart this weekend. Mm. Nobody knows. And I love, you've heard it before, but it's so cool in the Message Bible, Matthew 11:28-30. Are you tired, worn out, buried, burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I love those words. Mm. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me and work with me. And then my favorite part of that verse, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Mm. See, adrenaline high and low. Unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Mm. Big deal. And then number four, if you want to not be another leadership failure, make sure your definition of success in your gut, not the pretend one you talk about, your definition of success lines up with what you see as a repeated definition of success in the Word of God. Mm. All right, it's obvious, and we don't say it,
yeah.
but in today's Christian leadership world, tell me stuff that makes us successful.
Church attendance.
Yeah.
How well you're preaching from a, I don't know, I guess if people are reposting you, retweeting you,
yeah.
quoting you.
Yeah.
A lot of the outward stuff, you know, performance. Performance.
Exactly.
Is really, exactly. I think, what it comes down to a lot of times, how well you're performing.
Exactly. And the acceptance or rejection
yeah.
of certain people
yeah.
that are in the in circle, so yeah. your associations
yes.
and all of that. But interesting, you have to go back, and we all know this. You can almost tell where I'm going to land this plane right now. We have to say, what does the Word of God call success? Mm. And I'm challenged to find any place in the Word of God where it says the size of my youth ministry, my church, the size of my paycheck, the fact that somebody thinks I'm cool, the number of people watching this podcast has anything to do with success. Mm. Repeatedly. Success is equal to faithfulness. Mm. and faithfulness just isn't very sexy. Can I just say that? Yeah, you know, it really isn't. Yeah. You know, you're just staying in the game. You're doing a bunch of stuff that nobody even knows you're doing. You know, people often say to me, I want to come shadow you. I hear that often. And I say, my life's boring. It really is. Yeah, I don't do cool things. I mean, there are some cool moments, but my life is usually pretty boring. And it's those boring moments that make a ramp for some others that are maybe not quite so boring. Man. Faithfulness is the key to success.
That is good.
And then, gosh, if I only could touch a couple more, I would say number five, as far as kind of an autopsy of what I see in a bunch of these men and women that had leadership train wrecks. Remember that success is only one side of the equation. Mm. Sustaining it is the other side of it. I started lots of years ago. And I don't think my start needs to be too impressive. I don't think the platforms I was on when I started or the size of the youth ministry or all that needs to be too impressive. But I've said to the Lord so many times, and those of you who know me hear me say it all the time, Lord, I want to finish the race with the wind in my face. Mm. I want to finish well. And Lou Holtz, the obviously legendary Notre Dame coach, said, there are no magic moments. Mm. We just consistently kept practicing our drills and doing what we knew to do when they were saying, what made the magic team? And then one day the world woke up and decided to notice this. So I would say this to all of you. I don't think there is such a thing as overnight success. Mm. I think it takes a lifetime to achieve what many people call overnight success. And there have been so many shortcuts, and there still are, emotionally as well as tangibly, that I could have taken. And then last point, and Vance, it'll be fun to hear your dialogue on this one. Number six, never confuse who you are under the anointing with who you really are. Isn't that convicting? At least that it is for me.
Yeah.
Because there are points when I'm in front of people or even just counseling, not just speaking, where perhaps there's some anointing there. Mm. But I say on my notes, the anointing is a statement about God, not necessarily about you.
Mm.
So talk to me about that a little bit. Don't confuse who you are under the anointing with who you really are.
Man, I think it's so good. I think it just reminds me of us having to constantly remember, really simply, that it's just the grace of God that gives us the ability, the power to do what we're doing. And I think that sometimes we can see the result of God doing something through us and then hold ourselves to the standard of like, okay, well, this is who I'm supposed to be.
Right.
And it wasn't you in the first place.
Yeah, that's really good. Or you can have a good night, a good counseling appointment, a good service, whatever, and know that there's sin that you're letting go by attitude or action in your heart. And then easily it lowers the importance of that attitude in your heart. You know, I can hold bitterness, resentment, anger, all that stuff.
But
service went well. So somehow in my mind, it is almost an automated pass.
Yeah. God is pleased.
Yeah. God's not too ticked with me.
Man, that's good.
So listen, let me just say to you the obvious as we come close to wrapping up. My amazing hero and husband, who's now with Jesus, would say all the time, 98% of being a good Christian leader is being a good Christian.
Mm.
Don't violate he called it your daily appointment time with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's shorter. And I say lots of times, even 5 out of 7 days a week is successful for me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, oh, Look, I've already had 5 quiet times. I don't have to hang out with Jesus these last 2 days. But for me, I'm too tough on myself performance-wise, and I feel like a loser if I miss one or two.
Yeah.
So let us wrap up with reading, gosh, one of my favorite scriptures. And we've all heard it before, but I need to hear it often. It's from the New Living Version, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Hosanna. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So don't look at the troubles we see now. Big line. Rather, fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen, for the things that we see now will be gone soon, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Mm. Powerful, huh?
Very.
You know,
very.
The things we can't see, the non-glamorous, non-sexy things, the quiet times, the apologies, the all this stuff that easily becomes residue if we don't let. So, hey, here's your goal. And I know this sounds so simple. Be one of those amazing people that someday people can look and say they're still the same person, still running hard after Jesus, not another one of those train wrecks. In being one of those 100X people, because we say it all the time, remember that 100X is not so much what you do, but way more who you are. So thanks for letting Vance and me hang out with you. Live a few days as a 100X person who finishes. Talk to you soon.